Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in high school, I would go with the youth group from my church to the LYE Congress, Lutheran Youth Encounter Congress. And for us, it was 4 days during the week after Christmas in downtown Minneapolis, filled with music and speakers, with small group learning opportunities. There was also a really great chance to just sort of explore downtown Minneapolis. It was great. And for me, it was worth asking for that as my Christmas present more than anything else. You see, my church would usually bring a pretty large group to the Congress, 40, 45, 50 people, all of us going to the Congress. Now, some of them would be regulars from youth group or regulars at church, but others would be first-timers almost. It was the first time they'd done something with the congregation since their confirmation service or since the last time they were in Sunday school. For me, it was always fun to watch as the joy of the Lord reached into all of us, right? But it was especially fun to watch that joy of the Lord reach into those first timers because they got it, right? Or they were starting to get it. They were hearing the gospel in a way that resonated with them and a way that brought them joy. They would be singing along and listening attentively. They'd be talking animatedly about the small group that they had just been part of. And it was amazing to see, because at the end of the Congress, they were all going to come to church a whole lot more. Of that, they were sure. Then 2 weeks into that, of that, I am sure, Pastor Krause preached a long sermon. The guitar choir wasn't as good as all the bands at the Congress. There were just too many old people around. And that "I'm going to be in church for sure" decision sort of got set aside for sleeping in or an early trip to the mall. Now, I believe that for many of them, the joy of the Lord was still there, but it was almost as if it was just something that had happened. Something they will remember fondly, something to look back on with nostalgia. But faith and following Jesus were sort of lost. This is some of what Jesus is addressing in our gospel reading for today as he encounters potential followers. That first follower comes to Jesus and says, "I will follow you wherever you go." It's just all like all of my friends from that LYE Congress. Because the Jesus they met there was a Jesus that they would follow forever, whenever, wherever. Right up until that Jesus meets them through a boring sermon, they happen, poor singing, or a desire for 10 more minutes of sleep. Jesus knows all of these things. Jesus tells this enthusiastic supplicant that if you follow Jesus, there is no place for you to go but forward to Jerusalem, to suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus is honest with him, and he's honest with us all. It's not like it was at the Congress. But for anyone who is following Jesus, it's not like that moment when you witnessed a miracle. It's just not. Now, the love of God is always there. The presence of God is always there. The love and the presence of God are also moving forward. Jesus, in his ministry, is moving forward and sharing love anew. It's not about looking backwards. It's not about remembering the good old days or getting caught up in just a moment of excitement. The next follower of Jesus that we meet in the gospel, Jesus actually himself calls. He says, "Follow me." Now, every other time we have heard that call in the gospels, Simon and Andrew, James and John, Levi, Zacchaeus, all kinds of others, those people drop everything and follow Jesus. This time it's different. This time, there is a requirement of the law. There is a mandate to this person's fidelity that he seems unwilling to set aside. Jesus is calling him, follow me. But his dedication to the law and the rules and all of those things gets in the way. He's unwilling to consider Jesus' call to love neighbors until all of the other requirements are met. It's like the Pharisees who encounter Jesus. They want Jesus to be part of it, but they also want the 613 mitzvot. Paul warns us against trying to add anything to Jesus' ministry, anything to the love of God. But this man is trying to do just that. Jesus' ministry isn't about confining people by new rules and regulations. It's about moving forward in love and care. It's concern for family and friends, neighbors and strangers, all. And then the final potential follower tells Jesus that he's going to follow Jesus, but he just wants to go back and say goodbye. Now, what could possibly be wrong with that? You know, here we are. But Jesus sees it as someone who wants to spend their time looking backward. My father used to tell us stories about the good old days, and then we would tease him and say that everybody else on the planet calls that decade the Great Depression for a reason. But you see, my dad never wanted to go back to those days. He just remembered some of the good ones. But we all know people whose nostalgia runs overtime, and they would love it to be 1949 or 1959 or 1989 again. Jesus wants us to learn from our past, but always to move into the world looking for new possibility to love, to care. Jesus is calling us to concentrate on what is before us and not what we think we're going to miss the most. Jesus wants us to be free to move forward in love. It's what Paul is getting at in our reading from Galatians today. For freedom, Christ has set us free, Paul says. Jesus doesn't free us so that we can be bound by another law, another regulation, in another trap. That's what the devil, the world, and our sinful selves do to us. Jesus sets us free. In his death and resurrection, Jesus has repaired our relationship with God, forgiven our sins, filled us with God's love, and then sent us into the world to care. The freedom we are granted in Jesus, our Lord, is not for our own self-indulgence, but it's a freedom to discover how we get to share God's love today, right here, right now. As Jesus calls us daily, he steers us away from the works of the flesh that satisfy us and no one else. Jesus calls us to live instead bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We are free to make those real for ourselves and for others as we can. Martin Luther said it this way. He said, a Christian is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none. At the same time, a Christian is perfectly dutiful, servant of all, subject to all. What I see is that we are free when we live our lives for the world. We are trapped and imprisoned when we live for ourselves because we can't see what is before us. But we are rather looking backwards or even worse, just at our own navel. Jesus calls us to move forward, bearing the love of God with us wherever it is that we go. Sometimes it's right here, an easy place. Other times it is a path to Jerusalem, fraught with peril and filled with risk. The good news is that Jesus goes with us. It is Christ who frees us, and Christ will stand by us as we move forward in love and service, as we move forward in faith, bringing hope and standing firm in God's peace. That's the good news. Now, some people hear the call of Jesus and refuse, like the Samaritan city that James and John wanted to rain fire on. Some here are filled with enthusiasm and burn out fast. some here, but want to add something else to the grace that Jesus offers. Some here and want to just look backwards. All of us do all of these things and more. But the love of God is with us always. When we succeed, Jesus walks beside us as we move forward in love. When we fail, we are forgiven. Jesus calls us again and then walks beside us as we move forward in love. It is my prayer that we can all discover ways to follow Jesus into the world, moving forward, bearing fruit, living our freedom, and bringing the love. Amen.